Thank you so much for joining us here for hour number two. We have our four experts in studio ready to answer your questions, and we'll be getting to Craig and
where
Bob
are
in a moment.
Where are those experts? I just see us.
This is where you get to prove that you are the experts.
And I'm shooting blind because I can't see what, you know, what we got coming ahead of us. So.
Oh, they'll let you know.
Okay, there we go.
All right, that's Shane Hamlin. We've got Cal Carson in studio with us, Eddie Rudell, and of course, the man, Gary Baker, our internet advisor, myself, Foster Brown.
I owe you money, too, now.
And we got some folks lined up, as I said. Craig and Bob will be with you in just a second. Shane, you're going to be doing something tomorrow. It's kind of fun. We want to remind people about who can get there tomorrow to the Expo Center in Novi.
In Novi. Showcase Center, yep, at Novi. Mm-hmm. Comic-Con, 25th anniversary. Shatner. Cool. William Shatner will be there.
Our guest Mark Wade from earlier hour.
Yep.
So comic authors writing stuff, you know, that you've Spider-Man and things
Ernie Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
Of Ghostbusters fame will be there.
Oh, that's
see people there now. Where is Shane Hamlin?
Yes.
Well, that will be the key.
Head over to our website, internetadvisor.net. Look at my mugshot. If you see me while I'm walking around, I'll be there all day. Just say you're a fan of the show, Internet Advisors, and I'll give you a thumb drive or flash drive, whichever you like to call it.
Nicely done.
Well, you have on a striped hat and a... No.
Just
no,
look
no,
for
no.
the big guy with spiked hair. Yeah. Can't miss
me. No, there was somewhere else.
There'll only be one person like that.
That's
there.
It. Just me. Okay, the rest of the people will have, you know, they'll be dressed as, you know, The Flash or Wonder Woman or... Not me. Super Shane.
Hey, by the way, thank you very much to our two special screeners who are today. Annie Nichols is off, and we have Sade Rudell and Lauren Elliott who are helping to answer the phones. Thank you very much, ladies. They're the sweet voices. They were here during the first hour talking about their GoFunding programs, and you can find out about that at Internet Advisor and maybe give them a few dollars to help in their causes. And they're also setting up calls with people like Bob, who is calling us from Farmington. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm doing good. Hi,
okay,
how
good.
Are you?
What can we help you with? Thank you.
I have Windows XP with Windows 8, and I'm not able to get to, like, iHeartRadio so I can listen to WJR on the radio anymore. I also wanted to know if you could give me the best protection that's available for the Windows XP.
Boy, it doesn't come from Microsoft anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm thinking, didn't I see that Norton has declared that they're going to keep up protection?
Well, I think the antivirus programs, so even Microsoft Security Essentials will be kept up to date.
For an additional year, wasn't it?
For an additional year. I think, yeah.
But no one is going to patch the operating system. They don't have the source code to patch the operating system.
You're still going to have your issue with not being able to do iHeartRadio and those things because your browser's outdated, your Flash is outdated, your Java's outdated, and those things you can't change.
Oh, is that
change.
Why he can't get to iHeart?
Probably.
Well, I don't know about that necessarily.
He's on, Internet Explorer 8?
Right.
And he can't...
Yeah, I have 8.
And most all web, you know, stream is minimum 9 now.
Yeah, well, they're trying to upgrade that stream, right? Yeah. Now, so that's why they're getting rid of the old technology.
Now, is it possible that if he was to use Mozilla Firefox and then attempt to reinstall, the plugins for that,
they have a whole brand new set of plugins, by the way.
Yeah, it might just work if he uses an alternate browser.
That's a good point.
What browser are you using, Bob?
Windows 8, Microsoft.
Yeah, Internet Explorer 8.
Yep. You're using Internet Explorer.
Yeah, Explorer.
Have you tried to use an alternate browser like Chrome or Mozilla Firefox?
I have not.
You might try that.
I tried Chrome, but Chrome didn't work, and I'm a novice. Oh. I'm not like you guys, you know, professional.
Chrome didn't work? All right, Cal, thoughts?
Well, according to the iHeartRadio Help Center, you can use Internet Explorer 8 and above. You can use Firefox 2.4 and above. You can use Safari 5.1.9 and above. And you can use Google Chrome 2.8 and above. And you must have Flash Player 10 or above that goes along with those.
So he already had Internet Explorer 8. So one of the things he may have to do...
Well, but there's one other thing here, too, if I can interrupt, is that if you have Internet Explorer 8, maybe you're going to say this. Go ahead.
Finish. No. Oh. I was going to say that a lot of times additional plugins like the Yahoo Toolbar and all these McAfee security blocker or site blocker, a lot of the additional add-ons within Internet Explorer will and the toolbars will you know, basically disable you from having full functionality.
Oh. And Ed is on right on that particular path. On that same page on iHeart.com, they also talk about Internet Explorer 8. If you're having trouble accessing iHeartRadio, there are some things in the compatibility view settings that you need to remove or add. And you can go to that website, and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do.
So you're having a trouble, but you're having trouble to get to the website. So here's what we would suggest you do. Try downloading an alternate browser. Now, you said Chrome didn't work for you?
Yeah, I had problems with Chrome, so.
Okay, try try Firefox and see if that works.
Cal? Well, his browser is working. It's just not working with iHeartRadio, right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, yeah. So go to iHeartRadio's Help Center at their website. It's help.iheart.com, and it can tell you exactly what you need to do to set up your browser.
Okay?
Okay.
Try that out. See if it works for you. And, yeah, and let us know. And send us an email during the week and let us know how that worked for you. We can pass that information on. A lot of people out there, folks, are you listening? If you stay on XP, you're going to begin to experience more of these kind of problems. Not a scare tactic, just telling you that may be one of the things that's going to happen for you. Okay, the number is 800-859-0957, and Craig, you're up next. Thanks a lot for being here with us. By the way, internetadvisor.net is our homepage, and we just chock that full of all sorts of good information for you. So if you've been following the program, when we have a guest on and they mention a site or they have links there, for instance, with New Horizons, we put some links in there so you can find out about that special training program for the military that they're developing and about all their other courses as well. You can hear, you can find all sorts of things about the GoFundMe application and lots of other good things, including advice from the folks that we have in here. And Shane, you've got a piece to add on.
Well, Bob, our last caller, and I don't do this a lot, but, you know, he's talking about his XP machine, and, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to get into it and say, well, you should just upgrade. You know, that's always the common answer. But, you know,
well, it's the right answer.
It's the right answer. Yeah. It is. But, you know, some people just don't want to do it because they've got an old CAD program or something that they're holding on to. But if you wanted to upgrade to a Windows 7 Pro machine or an XP or a Windows 8 machine, where I work, CompTech Services in Sterling Heights, mm-hmm. At the end of the month, May 30th and 31st, which is a Friday and Saturday, we are bringing all your recycled electronics, you know, desktops, laptops, printers, screens, LCDs, mm-hmm. CRTs, all that mm-hmm. stuff, and we'll give you $30 towards the purchase of a new machine, a newer machine. Now, we offer off-lease machines with Windows 7 Pro.
Yep, that's important to know.
Which is nice. And then we offer also brand new machines with Windows 8. So we have both options for you.
Explain what off-lease means, just quickly.
You know, like a company of Beaumont, say, for instance, they'll lease, you know, 20 laptops for their nurses, mobile nurses stations.
Right.
After 18 months, most of those come back. They offer them to partners like us. And they're usually all A and B grade. We only purchase the A grade ones, which are mint condition.
Right.
And then we reload them with Windows 7 Pro, and boom, ready to go.
I'm sorry, I'm just chuckling to myself. I just can imagine the number of bagel crumbs in keyboards. So A does not come with bagel crumbs.
No. But you know the great thing.
There's a full meal on a C.
Yeah, you'll find no bagel crumbs. These are mint condition. I mean, they're really good. And the great thing about off-lease machines, and people don't know, is it's not like a used machine or a refurbished machine. They're always considered business-grade machines. Yeah, so you're getting better That's quality right, yeah. parts
yeah, to start
at a cheaper
with.
Price because it's an off-lease. Almost right. almost 50%.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible. Yeah, That's it.
And, you know, Shane mentioned something in that whole thing that he talked about, and it's like if you have an XP machine and you've got a particular application that you just have to run on it, just because we say it's time for you to look at a better machine doesn't mean you have to throw out that old XP machine. All you have to do is unplug it from the net so you don't have to worry about having any problems going to it. Run it as a standalone machine till the wheels fall off sure. if you want to.
Right.
But if you really want to be a participant in the internet and the experience that's going on, to be able to be, continue to use applications that come out like the gentleman with iHeartRadio and that sort of thing, you're going to have to step it up a little bit, and that requires going to a newer machine.
And that also allows you the time, because it's not an immediate switchover, it also allows you the time to work out any issues like, my program's working here, I really want to get it working over there, and if it doesn't, I need to find an alternative. But until right. then, it's still running on the original
machine. And there
are
other solutions to
that. A smooth, easy transition.
Good. Very good advice, guys. Okay, let's go. By the way, our phone number again, toll-free, 800-859-0957. And thanks to Chardé Rudell, by the way, who, along with Lauren Elliott, is answering the calls back there. And Craig from Shelby, Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Thanks for being with us, and what can we do for you?
Absolutely. You guys are the best. Gary, Ed, Foster, and Cal.
And Shane as well.
Yeah, I'm here.
Shane is here as well. What can we do for you?
I've been listening to you guys bumping 4 years now, and the advice that you guys have given me has been priceless. And I mentioned last week, I think, that what happened to my Gateway Mini is it crashed, and I think I misstated the issue, is that I'm not so much worried about getting the stuff back as I am to getting it, my Gateway back to Windows. And right now I'm just doing CPR on it. And I've gotten into DOS, it went back to Windows, went back to DOS, went back to Windows, and somehow I was able to freeze a DOS page. Here's what I think I did.
Okay.
Here's what I think I did. When I went in to clean up, install and uninstall, I thought I was uninstalling Real Player, and I think what I did was I uninstalled a Realtek driver.
That could be. Mm-hmm. Realtek is Shane, remind me, is that modem or sound?
Could be multiple different devices, sound, modem, network, Ethernet, LAN, those kind of things.
Did you ever find out, Bob, if you were able...
Craig,
were you ever able to get into safe mode? Because that was one of the things we were discussing last week. Craig called last week with this issue. So you were able to get into safe mode. One of the things you can do is a system restore or the Wayback Machine and tell it to go back to the way it perform a system restore back to this date, a week ago, 9 days ago.
Or
a month ago. Usually when you're uninstalling programs, Microsoft Windows will create a restore point and right to the point before you actually uninstall that program. And I'm sorry I did not remember that last week. So are you able to, if you are able to get in the safe mode, you should be able to perform a system restore.
I did that, and I went into restore, and it didn't work.
Oh.
Multiple restores?
Pardon me?
Multiple restores? Did you try other restore points as possibly?
You couldn't get any.
I was lucky to get back into that restore point, period.
Oh, okay. Oh, afterwards, it weren't that bad. Okay. I gotcha.
And my other question is that a friend of mine has a Windows 7, a CD, and she's got, like, another space on it that it can go to another computer.
Oh.
And, yeah. And one of the things, I made some notes here, it says that Windows failed to start or software change might be or cause. Insert your Windows installation disk, restart your computer, choose settings, click repair computer. Could I get an external CD-ROM to plug into my USB?
Oh, yeah.
Load that 7 into that CD-ROM into my computer or my Gateway.
Hmm.
Would that correct it, do you think?
Wouldn't you have to go into the boot drive to make sure that it booted to that?
Well, what do you have? You have 7 right now, correct?
Basic, yeah.
Okay, so you have 7. As long as you've got the same, you know, compatible version of Windows 7, you can plug in an external DVD-ROM.
Okay.
And just when you reboot it, hit the F12 key normally. It will get you to a boot device options.
Okay,
select the USB device.
Right.
And then make sure you get on that tap, that space bar, you know, when you see, you know, to load this CD, you know, hit any key, and that'll boot right to that CD. And then run it just like you're doing a normal setup, and it'll get to a point where it'll say repair, and then hit that repair button.
Okay, guys. My next question is, because I'm running out of time, because I'm looking for a job,
gotcha,
and it's hugely important to have, you know, have some type of internet device to get apply for a job. If I went online and if I went into like an eBay or something like that, because I see there's other items similar to mine that's on, you know, on sale for eBay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the security for what like a refurbished machine is? I'd never ask that question.
So how secure is it going to eBay, guys, to purchase
and
use?
No, not that.
Oh, sorry.
Not that. If I bought something,
yes,
you know, how do I know that device, because I saw something last week, I think it was on 2020, John Stossel was talking about how...
You want to know if it's safe.
Yeah.
I heard the same report.
Yeah. You don't, and that's the thing. Anytime you make a purchase online, you always have to be buyer beware.
Caveat emptor.
Yep. You don't know what you're getting. You might want to find a local mom and pop computer store.
Yeah.
Well, and there is one. If you are you in? Did you say you're Lake Orion?
No. I think in Shelby, Ohio.
Oh, Shelby, Ohio.
Shelby.
Okay.
That's the problem. Is that it seems like when the Windows 7 thing just came to be an issue, it's like everybody's behind.
3 to 5 days behind as far as updating, changing.
Okay,
Cal, at least in this area.
Cal, you had a thought?
Now, here's what you can do. If you do decide to buy one online, that's fine and dandy. If they ship it to you with the manufacturer's Windows CD along with it, when you get that machine, if you want to assure yourself you could get the machine, wipe it, reload the operating system directly yourself to make sure everything is the way it should be, and then proceed on forward with that.
And it sounds like he could do that right now.
When you wipe it, it's just a reformat, right?
Yep.
Yes. And it sounds like he could do that right now because he has a spare Windows 7 license, and if the repair fails, he could just attempt to reinstall it. It'll upgrade it to a spare license that his friend had.
Right.
And have a functional computer.
So Craig, take a crack at that. I think that sounds like a good idea. Get that external drive and try to do it at that way. So thanks so much for calling us, Craig, and I hope that works out for you. Let us know. Let me take a moment to salute the folks behind the glass, a very special group. Rich Rosinski, who's been doing a tremendous amount of stuff back there. Thanks, Rich, so much for all you do as our engineer. And as well, we have some special folks who are answering the phone.
Yeah, We've got celebrity answers.
Yeah, that's right. Shardae Rudell, Ed's daughter, and Lauren Elliott, her friend from up in the Oxford Way. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for helping out.
Let me see if I can understand this. Are you saying that Annie Nichols is so intense that it takes two people to do the job she does?
She's at Comic-Con. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's it. That's where she is.
I wonder what costume she's wearing.
She is a very skilled DJ as well, and I think, as a matter of fact, she may be downstairs doing a program there, or she works at another radio station as well. So, Annie, we miss you. And she's going to be off a few times in the near future, but thanks to the ladies who are helping to answer our phones right now. So let's go to Bob, who is with us from Lake Orion. And, Bob, you have a question about Windows 8. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, you guys, great show, as always. I have a brand-new laptop I haven't taken out of the box.
Okay.
It has Windows 8.0.
Okay, 8.1. And, good. Okay.
And I was told there's a lot of pitfalls with it from my one with XP.
XP being
Sunset.
Bah humbug. But, Eddie, you had something you want to say?
Not me. I mean, if it's in the box, it's like it's going to be like Christmas. You're going to open it up and... And Shane, you know, you deal with customers on a daily basis.
Yes, I do.
And you try to find out what fits them. I'll let you discuss this one.
It was funny when he mentioned, I don't know if I like it. Everyone's mic went on. Boop, 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 boop. So everyone's ready to comment on that.
Yeah.
You know what? Give it a try. You know, most people, when I talk to them and they say, well, I don't like that Windows 8. I said, well, what don't you like about it? And they go, well, I really don't know because I haven't used it. And I said, that's just what my brother-in-law said or my cousin. Yeah. You know what? Just try it.
You know what? How old are you? If you're under 25, you'll love it. If you're between 25 and 35, you'll kind of think it's okay because you're okay with change. If you're over 35, you're no fogey. You don't like it because you don't like change, right?
You hit the nail on the head there.
So the point is, and I'm not talking about a chronological age. I'm talking about how you think about technology. Because when you first picked up a smartphone, it was different than a regular dial telephone. Lord. It changed. The interface was different. When you picked up your first tablet, it was different than your computer. This is a cross between a tablet and a computer. The interface is different.
I got to tell you, Bob, when he was talking about this, I do reviews of different phones and machines. I just turned back into 1520 the Lumia, and I'll be reviewing it next week on the air. Mm-hmm. But I go through this time at every time I get a new machine. It's, oh my God, it's a Windows phone. How do I make that work? You know, I'm doing it all the time. Ed?
Now, the first thing, if you have not opened the box, I just thought of this question. The first thing I want to ask, is it touchscreen? Because users that do not have
a
touchscreen,
that's a good point,
do hate it. Right, yes. So if the only interface you have is a mouse because you mistakenly or someone purchased for you a Windows X machine that does not have a touchscreen, I would take it back and spend and get your money back to get a machine, a Windows 8, with a touchscreen.
Does it have a touchscreen?
It's a cross between
it's a mouse-oriented.
Yeah, this is...
Ed makes a good point.
I believe Ed's exactly right. Yep. This interface is built for touchscreen. It's built for a tablet crossed with a computer.
I mean, there are just some things that are easier to do. You know, I can use 80-90% I could do what I want to with the mouse.
Cal?
Well, I'm not being a Windows person, but hearing the words about the Windows stuff.
Well, but they don't have touchscreens for the Mac.
Okay, but right?
Okay.
And for a good reason.
No. But, you know the biggest problem with the touchscreen?
No.
Is because it makes so much sense that I tried to touch my computer at work the same way because you want to do it that way. That's it. Makes sense. I just once you get used to it.
I got up to check and see if that, you were and what mode you're in.
Yeah, there's fingerprints.
Yeah,
there's fingerprints on there's fingerprints on my computer at work because it's not a touchscreen. And
Cal, was there a thought you were trying to finish?
There was actually something valid here, and then Gary woke up.
Okay, Bob.
Here's the deal. And you guys around me, correct me. The upgrade from Windows 8 to 8.1 allows it to operate more as a desktop machine if you so desire,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, and correct. I use it at home with my wife. Her desktop has that mouse only, and it is much easier to use now.
So I would suggest to you that when you do take it out the box, the first thing you want to do is make sure you upgrade it up to 8.1 before you do anything else.
And it'll do that automatically, I know.
Yes.
Right. And then once you do that, then start to assess what the experience is all about. And if it still doesn't seem to work right for you within those, I don't know, most computer places, within 10 days, you can take that rascal back, right. Give them an extra $20 and get that touchscreen if you want.
So we've covered the bases. We said keep it, right. Turn it in, and the other one said try it. So.
Try it. Love it. Live it. Yeah. You know, don't worry about it.
Bless you guys, and thank you for such a good show, everybody.
By the way, Bob, what brand did you buy? I'm just curious.
It's a Toshiba.
A Toshiba. I would also suggest something else. In this case, with a Toshiba, I think there's some concerns there because Toshiba has stopped making... Am I right on this?
No, it was Sony that stopped.
Oh, Sony. I beg your pardon. Thank you for stopping me then.
Sony doesn't make a laptop anymore.
Okay. Yeah. That was what I was thinking of. Bob, all the rest of the advice, take
much.
The rest
have
of the ignore.
Have a great weekend, you.
Thank you, guys. We really appreciate your calling in. Thank you so much. All right, let's go to, let's see, line number three. We have a celebrity on there on line number three.
Ooh,
hi, Meredith.
That.
Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, it's Daughter's Day.
That
That's
is.
Right. Meredith is
Daddy Daughter Day.
Cal's
Lauren,
daughter.
Please call.
Okay, Meredith, Cal's daughter is with us. Meredith, what can we do for you here that your dad couldn't do at home?
I actually had a question about, I have my laptop, and I wanted to know, because I'm cheap, I wanted to know if there was a way for me to get media that I see on my laptop, like off of YouTube or on iTunes that I have movies I've downloaded. If there was a way I could hardwire that into my flat screen TV.
Sure.
No.
Well, you could do better than hardwire.
Go ahead.
YouTube. No, this is your daughter.
This is your daughter, Daddy.
Hey, listen, Dad's taking a day off. Go ahead.
So because, Meredith, I know you have an Apple because you're Cal's daughter.
Right.
Have you tried Apple TV?
I'm cheap, so
you're
no.
You're cheap, so no. Okay.
That's $100. Not so, bad, but yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I think she can use AirPlay through the modem, through the wireless to be able to project it on television. So that's a possibility, too, which we should look into.
Yeah,
we should do a show on that.
Meredith, what version of Mac are you running?
It's very old. I don't even know if it's Snow Leopard or not. It's old.
Well, if you upgrade, am I right on this? If you upgrade to...
The cobbler's kids don't wear shoes.
I know. But could she upgrade to... the machine she has.
Yeah, she could. We could probably upgrade it up a level at least. Too,
for $29.
Bucks.
Yeah.
For $29, which is not much. And then you don't have to use wires at all. You can just use AirPlay, which will go through your wireless modem.
Okay, but how does AirPlay tie in with your TV?
You play it... When you hit AirPlay... It then automatically casts it onto your TV screen.
You need something, the receiver on the TV, plugged into the TV?
Yes. She'll need the Apple TV plugged into the back of the television, and she can AirPlay from her Mac.
Oh, so you do need an Apple TV.
So the hardwire would be from the TV to the modem.
She wants to hardwire this. So
but
that
the laptop itself would not need
would not have to be hardwired.
No, if she wanted to hardwire her MacBook directly into the television, she can use a VGA dongle connected to the side of the MacBook, and then from the MacBook through a VGA cable directly to the side of the TV.
To the HDMI on the back of
the
TV.
To the VGA input on the TV.
Or no. It depends on the kind of TV. For instance, if you have an HDMI...
Hers has both.
Oh, it has both.
Or we could use an HDMI... We could use a dongle that goes from the DVI port to the HDMI, HDMI on it and then plug it in with HDMI.
The bottom line is, if you go into the Apple Store, and you used to work there, I know you can do that, you can probably find, I think for $30, you can find those dongles.
Yes.
That will help you to make the connection. So that's not much of an investment.
Meredith, I think this was masterful. I have to congratulate you. You have just now, in front of 500,000 people or so, got your dad to commit to helping you tonight to do this. Wonderful job.
I'm actually really happy about that.
We'll check with him next week.
Call
us back if you can't get your father to help you here.
And I'm sure there's some barbecue ribs and potatoes in there somewhere for dinner.
Just amazed that Kelly's daughter's using
Meredith, thanks for
Mac.
Calling in here and making this a fun show.
She's on her way to Comic-Con. Right, have a good time. We'll talk to you later.
There you go.
Very good.
You know, I was going to add to that is if she has an Xbox or even a PS2 or PS3, she can use that as a media streamer with her Apple as well.
Actually, she has a Wii, so we'll try playing it
that'll
way.
That'll work,
too. You know, one of the things we're talking about, folks, and just take a moment to talk about this because it's all part of this kind of cutting the cord scenario, too, is that people are finding ways of getting the video off of their internet connection onto their TVs. Mm-hmm. And there are more and more ways of doing that. The Roku box, by the way, and I have an Apple TV. I am sorely tempted to buy a Roku box for like $89, I think it is.
And if you don't need the latest one, you can buy them a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Right? But I mean, it has everything in terms of, it's got thousands of channels. Yeah. Whereas the Apple TV has a clunky interface, Cal. I'm hoping that when WWDC comes up next month, they really make a change in that.
It's possible.
They have a limited number of channels, too. So, anyhow, that's become a real big thing. All right, now, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Joanne and Dennis, and your call, too, at 800-859-0957 to round out this program. Well, it's been a wonderful program today, and my sincere thanks to all the guys here who have been helping. I would like to point one thing out to you at InternetAdvisor.net. If you scroll down the page to that part where under Hour 2 and you see our smiling faces there, don't forget to look for Shane's face because that's the one that will get
Comic-Con, you a flash. Comic-Con tomorrow down in Novi, the convention center there, from 10:30 to 5. I'll be there most of the day.
Okay.
If you find me, I'll give you a flash drive. There just you say go. You're a fan of the show.
And there you go. Now, just below his smiling face, you see something that says, what you should know about net neutrality, a hugely important issue. And what I did there was I put a link to the background on the net neutrality debate, and then below that, there is a petition that has been circulated. I think it's a very good one. Take a look at it and sign it, and that will send a petition to the FCC about net neutrality. So I just encourage you to read both those things, and if you're so moved, and to send that petition on, as I did earlier on today.
Ready? And that's a web-based?
These are web-based, and you put in your name, et cetera, and boom, it's off.
Excellent.
And it's excellent. So the first one is to let you know some of the issues, and the second one, if you agree, then we'll be to go on to that petition and sign it, and I would certainly hope that you would. Very, very, very important issue that we're going to be seeing debated back and forth over the next 4 months that there's a period for this commentary going on.
Yep, and one of the things you want to say is, like, I'm calling to ask, or I'm writing to ask the FCC to reclassify internet service providers as Title II common carriers.
And now that's one of the solutions.
That's one of the solutions.
There are problems that come with that, but anyway, that there's a beginning there for you to make those kind of things known. Okay, good. It's a very important issue. We're going to keep on letting people know about it. Okay, let's go to our lines. And Peter from Belleville, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Hello, Peter. Thank you very much, sir. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
All right.
I'm looking to replace my XP laptop.
Okay.
And I'd like to know your views on a Google Chrome laptop.
To explain for folks out there what Peter's talking about, and these, by the way, the price point on these things is something I think that people are finding very attractive.
Absolutely.
Like $275, $300, is that about what you're seeing?
I'm seeing $250.
Yeah, $250. And they're coming, and these are decent machines. The reason they don't cost that much is because the Google Chrome operating system, not the browser, the operating system is cloud-based. So you have to have an internet connection. If you don't, you can't get to these applications, my understanding. Now, has anybody here had a hands-on with a Google Chrome machine?
No, not in like 3 years.
I haven't done that, and I've got to get one to see if I can just try it out. Maybe we'll see if we can get a machine here for people. Have you seen any come through your shop?
No, not at all. In fact, I was just talking about it this week. Where are they? What happened? I mean, they just kind of faded away.
But they're coming back. Very strong.
Yeah, I guess.
I know a couple people that love them.
Yep.
But I've not actually played with one.
So my sense is that when you get it, you have to have a good internet connection. When you open
it
up, you
have
to have a connection, Peter. When you open it up, then you are able then to connect to, for instance, Google Documents. and they have their own brands of a word processor, Excel-like spreadsheet.
Yeah, tons of stuff.
And by the way, I got to tell you something. I'd never used Google Docs before. I sent these guys a message on there, and it was brilliant. It took me, I didn't have any kind of learning curve using that document, and it did a great job of editing it online.
It's very similar to Microsoft Office Suite.
Very similar.
It transparently integrates sharing capability into people that you send email addresses to.
Yep.
This is what Microsoft should have done 10 years ago, and it took Google to come up with it.
Well, and they're starting to now.
Yes, right?
They are.
But, you know, remember Paul Thurrott?
Yes. Google Supersite. Win Supersite. Yep.
So, Win Supersite, he did a great article on replacing XP with Google offers a lifeline to XP users and using Chrome. It's actually a pretty interesting article. Didn't get a chance to read the whole thing because it's extensive, but it's winsupersite.com. And so that may be something, Peter, that you might want to read before you go.
Peter, I will try to post that after our program. Make sure that I get that link up under the second hour. It's Paul Thurrott, Thurott.
Two R's, I believe.
And it's Win Supersite. That's it. Winsupersite.com.
Yeah, two R's, two T's.
But you go to winsupersite.com and look up that article on Google OS replacing the Windows operating system.
Now, one thing I will say, I purchased for my son, his laptop took a dive when he was in Grand Valley State University. So
was that a gravity event?
That was a hinge event. There was nothing.
Oh, that's right. That hinge event. That's right.
So what I did is I went onto Amazon.com, found a sale that they were having with a Lenovo, and was able for $311 purchase a Lenovo Windows 8 touchscreen, 11-inch, which is about the same size as a Chromebook, 11.2 inches, and sent it to him. And he was happy. You know, it's like, it's kind of small, Dad. And, you know, but, you know, because he bought himself a 15-inch. But it worked fine for him and until we can get his other unit serviced.
So, Peter, yes, it's out there. Some people would say it's a very good alternative. We can't personally give you any advice on the based on hands-on. I'm going to try to remedy that very soon.
Yeah, we should.
But the other thing is that sales for these Chromebooks has gone through the roof in the last quarter.
Probably for this reason.
The price point? Yeah. The price point for people who are on Windows XP. So we'll try to get more information for you, okay?
Okay, I understand that there's nothing on my existing laptop can be transferred.
That is a big question. I do not know. And you know what I suggest you do? This is kind of ironic. Google or Bing that question. Online and look for that.
One of the things you could potentially do is you could set up a Google account and you can copy your documents up to your own Google Drive, Word documents, PowerPoint, and Excel documents, pictures and photos and videos will transfer up to your Google Drive.
Do you have a Gmail account?
But applications will not.
Pardon me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, with your Gmail account, you should be able to transfer your contacts and your email to it, I believe.
You might be able as well to import and export like a Word doc into Google Docs.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you can.
So there are some things you can do. We'll try to find out more information about that, Peter, okay?
Very good. Thank
Excellent
you.
Question.
Thank
I you. Can't wait to start looking into this for our listeners.
Yeah, we should do that.
We're going to see if we can get some for us to get hands-on to try.
Of course, I guess that depends on how much you want to share with Google of all your stuff.
Now, that is the other point. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, Apple already knows about every song I've ever had.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It's no different.
And how many credit cards?
How many credit cards have I plugged
400
into?
400 million, I think. Yeah. All right, hey, let's see if we can squeeze one more in here. That's Joanne from Concord, Ohio. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Good to have you on the air with us.
Hi, gentlemen. I know you're really short on time, so I'll try to be real succinct. First of all, I feel like I hit the jackpot with Shane and Cal there because my question is Windows and Mac related.
Okay.
But, good.
Before I go shopping at Micro Center, I wanted to get some advice and some opinions. I'm a sewing educator. In fact, I talked to you last summer about building my own website. I got that all in place. Everything's going real good.
Good for you.
That's another subject for another day that I'd love to talk to you about.
Yes.
Please call us back and do that.
Yes.
That would be great.
You know what? I'm going to put you on hold at the end of the program. We'll get you. Matter of fact, we're running out of time right now. Can I get your phone number? I'm going to put you on hold so we can do that with her. And what I'll do is, we'll bring you back next week. But in the meantime, we'll talk with you. So let me put you on hold.
Great.
And we'll see if we can get Sharday, see if we can get her phone number, and then we will get back in touch with her. Okay, Lauren? So thank you to Sharday and Lauren, who have been helping to answer the phone Joanne, we will take that information down and get back to you. Sorry, we just ran out of time at the end of the show. Thanks, guys, so much for being here and for all of your help this week. And for the rest of you, by the way, out there, if you have a question that's kind of hanging, we've got Dennis and Bill there, give us an email at internetadvisor.net and the Contact Us button. And for those of you listening to us on our affiliates, we hope that you'll involve yourself with asking us questions that way as well. We do pick them up during the week and we answer them. And occasionally, if we get the chance, we'll also bring them on the air here and see if we can bring you in to answer your questions. So that's internetadvisor.net. Hit the Contact Us button and send us your questions.